Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good afternoon, happy Tuesday to you. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, 2 hours, fantasy sports talk, sports wagering, covering the NBA, Major League Baseball, of course, closing in on the NFL draft. It's great to see everyone out there today in TV land. If you're listening on the audio side or watching us on demand, thanks for making us a part of your day. And a happy day it is to my co-host Davis Maddock. Why is it a happy day? Well, I thought it would be for two reasons. I thought it would be because Topps has these new NFTs that are coming out at 1 o'clock Eastern, but Davis is out on that. Scares me personally. That means maybe I'm about to throw some money away. But it is also Ohtani Day for Davis Maddock. So I know where he will be tonight, and that will be sitting on a couch or in a bed somewhere watching him pitch. But Davis, there's a little twist to Ohtani tonight, as you know.
Yeah, not hitting tonight. Not going to be taking up that designated hitter spot in the Los Angeles Angels lineup, which, you know, if that means that he's getting through five innings, he's getting through six innings, I think we can accept that, because, you know, what you and I said at the beginning of the season is we need 15 starts, Shohei. We need the Angels organization to committing to getting him 15 starts, especially now. This is going to be the litmus test. If we remember back to 2018, he'd pitch and then he wouldn't hit the next day, not even DH. They wouldn't put him in the field, and they wouldn't DH him the next day. Now, that was complicated because back in 2018, they still felt that organizational loyalty to Albert Pujols, that he just was going to be DH, you know, hell or high water. He was going to be in there, and that is not the case with Pujols, say. So if he gets five innings in today, you know, 80 pitches, and then is the DH tomorrow, you know, we're feeling good. It's good times all around.
Yeah, and also when they did that with the Angels, they really had no viable backup first baseman too, and now Jared Walsh is there and really looks like a great player too. I think when Pujols is done at the end of the season, next year is going to be a big year for Walsh for me in fantasy, no matter what he does. And Walsh may hit 30 this year too. I think that he's about to come on a little bit as well. That's where we'll begin on the show today. It'll be the Shohei Ohtani pitching performance where everyone should be watching tonight. I know that I will be as well, although I will be at a game earlier in the night, Miami and Baltimore, but they're starting those games at 6:40 Eastern, so that's a good chance for me to see both. Nick Castellanos' two-game suspension upheld, so too late probably for those of you in weekly leagues to get him out of the lineup. No one hotter than Steph Curry. We brought this up, I believe, last week, where it's just must-watch television at this point, and we're trying to figure out a way for him to get in the play-in game or get into the playoffs. 49 points last night against his brother and the Sixers. This guy is having some month of April. Kobe Bryant, his wife Vanessa, last night announced that his shoe contract with Nike not going to be renewed by his estate. So I do want to start with that with Davis here in a second. And also Patrick Marleau passes Gordie Howe for most games ever played in the NHL. The one interesting part about Gordie Howe is his cards. You know, he's got these Topps cards, Davis, into the 70s, and he's playing for like And you look on the back of the card, they can't even fit the amount of years. This guy played more, in the history of sports than anyone ever did in one career. Gordie Howe is just incredible. Had a chance to meet Gordie Howe and interview him many years ago, too. But let's start off with this interesting one with Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, who last night posted on Instagram, I believe it was Instagram, that it was time for the contract to end, and alluded to the point that the reason why, maybe I'm completely wrong on this, is that it almost seems she wanted to make them more available for people to buy, because she said as soon as they come out, they're immediately gone. And I suppose, given the fact that Nike has some agreements also with these resellers, maybe that's the reason why this is happening. But Kobe, arguably top two name all time in terms of their company. And now I guess, Davis, the question is this it? Are those sneakers now historic in the sense that they'll never be produced again? Do you think that maybe another company steps in here? Because this is just a huge move in the apparel world.
I mean, there's no way that there are not going to be more Kobe Bryant shoes manufactured. And, you know, I guess this says more about me than it does about the Bryant estate. But my first instinct was that this was done cynically to generate more money for the estate, because obviously if you retain that exclusivity, you start to figure out, if the estate figured out their own distribution and design and everything, there obviously would be a way for them to retain a greater share of the profits. Or maybe it is more altruistic and they want a cheaper contract negotiation. They want the shoes to be cheaper. They want them to be more widely distributed. I mean, that is what Shaquille O'Neal has done, Kobe Bryant's famous former Lakers teammate. Mm-hmm. You can buy Shaq stuff in Walmart, which he says is like, that's what he wants. He wants, Shaq grew up without a ton of money. He wants kids who don't have a ton of money to be able to buy Shaq shoes and shirts and things like that. So maybe it is more altruistic and kind from the Bryant estate. But I thought it was just a weird story, though. This was not ever something I ever expected to happen in the wake of Kobe Bryant's unfortunate passing.
Yeah, and again, I'll lean on the side of the second option that you gave, only because Kobe Bryant's estate must be worth, I can't even imagine with the amount of money that he made playing in endorsements as well. But you're right, it's a fair point, and we'll just have to see over the next coming months or maybe even years, maybe there's a complete break from it. But no doubt that this has become a story that probably wouldn't have been one had this not been brought up. So something for us to monitor for sure. Not really something you can bet on or a fantasy sport, but just worth bringing up here at the top. All right, now speaking of which, last night we had some unbelievable performances in terms of fantasy. Speaking of which, another triple-double for you-know-who. Probably don't even need to tell you know the name. On top of that, the NBA MVP had a huge game as well, and a good game for a player who's not having a great year. Do you know who those are? We'll tell you next.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Nish, Davis Maddock, our producer Brett Levy joins us for this ride in the NBA's fantasy standouts. From Monday night, we've got Tuesday games to get to as well. We'll have a preview of one of them against the spread, so make sure you stay with us on the grid. Let's get to it. Last night, another big game for Steph Curry in a road win over the 76ers. Here comes Golden State coming on late into the NBA season. 49 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. And Denver and Memphis, this game, I believe, went to overtime, if I'm not mistaken. And this is kind of why the numbers got a little inflated, I think. Jokic with 47, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 block. He's going to be the MVP of the league at this point. No argument there. Ja Morant has not had a great year, that is for sure. But last night came up big. 36 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. And then a couple of triple-doubles we'll get to here. Russell Westbrook again. 13 points, 11 rebounds, 17 assists, 3 steals. And Jason Tatum had 14 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. All right, so Davis, let's go back to Golden State here for a minute. Curry is carrying them toward the playoffs here. And I know that we talked about this and just how interesting it would be to see them either get into the playoffs or get in the play-in game. And I think last night was a pretty big statement. Like the Sixers are I would say, a top 5 team in the NBA. I think that's probably fair, maybe top 6, right on that border. And when one guy shows up like this and has the game of his life, I suppose anything can happen. And so if Golden State does get in that play-in one game scenario, Curry will have to do that. Now, winning in a series, I don't know that they can. But this has been fun to watch over the last month.
Yeah, Curry is averaging 40 points a game for the month of April. So pretty incredible stuff there. The Warriors now up to a 500 record. They're 29-29. They're the 9 seed in the Western Conference right now, which means that they would be playing in the 7-9 play-in game against the Mavericks. But they're only 2 games back of the Mavericks at this point. The Grizzlies just lost that game to the Nuggets last night in double overtime, actually, in which Nikola Jokic hit the game-winning shot. I mean, the guy does it all. Game winners, triple doubles, 47 points. I mean, he's just incredible. I mean, you are right, Craig. It's a foregone conclusion. He is the MVP. I saw some chatter last night about Curry winning MVP, but like, come on, we're not giving Curry the MVP. We're not giving Harden the MVP. We're not giving Embiid the MVP. Nikola Jokic is the MVP. What I want to have happen is I think the Warriors, if Steph plays like this, I think they can catch the 6 seed Trailblazers, because Damian Lillard is dealing with knee tendinopathy right now, which that's a medical term for his knee hurts, and it hurts real bad. It hurts to the point to where he can't even get himself warmed up to play in these games. And if Lillard is out for multiple weeks, I mean, what's stopping the Warriors?
Yeah, Brett, I would ask you the same thing. And based on that game last night, it shows they could go on the road and beat a pretty good team. I would guess, if I'm thinking forward, they could win a play-in game. Maybe they would win a first-round matchup. But can any one player average 40 or 50 points for like 3 series straight to get back to a finals? I don't know. Seems unprecedented to me. Although we did see last year Murray and Mitchell battle, but you know, one team had to lose that. And I guess that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, Steph's unbelievable right now. He is, Craig, there are no other players in their career with 5 games of 10-plus made threes. Steph Curry has 6 this season. So, I mean, this dude is on another level. You know, you hear on the national TV games, he's changed the game. He's, you know, ruined the game, whatever. All people do now is shoot threes. But the truth is, there's no bad shot on the court for Steph Curry. We see him getting fouled, hitting shots behind the 3-point line with his left hand. We see him making incredible layups. He does all the tunnel shots before the games. You know, he works and practices on deep threes. And we've seen a lot of players continue that development. And, you know, that's why 3-point shooting is so prevalent in the league, because this guy is so efficient. And honestly, it's really difficult to guard. How do you guard a guy out 40 feet from the basket and he's, you know, hitting 2 out of every 5? It's really impressive. He's on a torrid pace. So yeah, I would be afraid to be playing the Warriors any night, because you know what type of a player this is. But I would not be betting heavily on the Warriors. I would still say the Lakers are the favorites in the West. Strong favorites, probably. I expect them to all come back healthy. And we've seen LeBron in the postseason. He's a different animal, too.
No doubt. Quick opinion from both of you. I'll start with Davis and then Brett, give me yours. Ja Morant. I don't follow it as closely as you guys do. And clearly, one of the better games for him, maybe even all season last night with the performance that he had on FanDuel, 60-plus points. Davis, is it that clear that he's had a down year, or is it just he's regressing to what people thought maybe he would be coming out of college? I know his year two last year was unbelievable. What do you think?
He's just taking a lot of bad shots. He's a 21-year-old point guard on a middling team in the tougher conference. Like, I'm pretty much willing to overlook it. He also is pretty small and has some weight to gain, I think, in the future.
Brett, what about you?
He had an ankle injury early in the year that probably hurt mm-hmm. his development a little bit. His best teammate was missing for a large portion of the year. But I think Ja Morant, you know, has franchise player potential. Obviously, we saw it last year. He's an explosive athlete. That's kind of his game. So an ankle injury is going to affect him more than some other people that maybe can shoot it a little better or, you know, are more confident in getting their teammates involved, I'll say.
All right, Brett, thanks for popping on for the NBA Fantasy Standouts. Now let's go over to our standouts in baseball last night. It was a little bit of a light schedule. Mariners, by the way, what's going on with the Mariners? Best record in the American League. Paul DeJong for St. Louis, 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, 3 runs. He was the best player on the field in terms of power yesterday. Alex Verdugo for the Red Sox hit a home run in Patriots Day. Tim Anderson, 2 more stolen bases for him. That's been his calling card since he's come back from injury, also 3 hits. And then on the pitching side, Kevin Gausman for San Francisco ended up leading them to a win. 6 innings pitched, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 6 hits. He did walk 4. But picks up that W. And then the big surprise, Davis, no doubt, was Arihara of the Texas Rangers. I don't think anybody had this one. 5 2/3, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 hits, 2 walks. And look, this is just one player that I know nothing about. So I'm just simply watching games and watching highlights. And it doesn't look like he's a guy that's going to go deep into games. We know the Rangers offense isn't very good. So potentially maybe this is just a one-shot deal for him, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the interesting thing about him is he's kind of that analysis of like, well, what happens when major league hitters don't have video, they don't have their good scouting reports. I mean, Arihara, professional major league baseball hitters have seen about 250 pitches from him in total now that he has made, I believe this was his third turn through the rotation, might have been his fourth, but these guys just haven't seen him. And there are all sorts of tricks that veteran pitchers like Arihara can have up their sleeve when the batters don't really know what to expect. They can play with the sequencing. They can throw off speed when they're expecting fastballs, and then vice versa. So I am not inclined to believe in this Arihara stuff. But, you know, if he puts together 140 really solid innings this year, I guess at this point, can't really be that surprised since, you know, I'm sure he had a reason for coming over from the DuPont League. He thought he was going to be successful and looks like one of those guys who's betting on himself and has been successful thus far.
Yeah, and a big game, by the way, also last night for Joe Musgrove of the San Diego Padres, another 13-strikeout game for him. But Padres got no run support. Why? Well, the Brewers have themselves a couple of aces. Brandon Woodruff shut them down last night, too, as the Brewers defeated the San Diego Padres, and they'll play again tonight. Another really great pitching matchup. We're going to preview that coming up a little bit later in the show. But speaking of pitchers, up next, some decisions to be made on the DFS slate today. A couple of afternoon games. We're focused in on the night games, and we'll preview that coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Also, we continue our NFL draft profile previews, and Justin Fields will be the focus of our discussion. That's coming up as well. So stick with us here on The Grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hearts racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time for us to take a look at FanDuel Slate today. For those of you who are thinking about playing some DFS, you can go to dailyroto.com, get all of Davis's selections. We give a lot to you here on the show, though, as well, and so that's kind of how we run through it here. And without further ado, let's run through the pitchers, which obviously is always the most important when you're playing DFS. Corbin Burnes back on the mound tonight, 10,500. Burnes has not walked anyone this season. And tonight we'll see if that continues at San Diego. How about Carlos Rodon, who pitches tonight? He is 10,000 following his no-hitter. So another interesting name there, too. Hyunjin Ryu at 9,700. Zach Gallen, pretty cheap, 9,600, I guess his second start. Maybe that's why. Zach Wheeler for the Phillies, who's had a great start, 9,400. And Julio Urias, the Dodgers actually lost last night, Davis. It was like a rare occurrence to see them lose a game. They're on pace to win, I think, somewhere about 125 games this year. We know it's probably not going to happen, but that's the pace. 9,200 for Urias against Seattle. By the way, Kyle Lewis just announced back in the starting lineup tonight, rookie of the year in the American League, back for Seattle tonight. All right, who do you like at pitcher?
Yeah, so the all-day slate, which begins at 4:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Central. I mean, we have so many guys going in the slate. Luis Castillo, Chris Paddock, Zach Plesac, Urias, Nick Niedert for your Miami Marlins. He is super cheap. Nick Niedert, $5,500 on FanDuel. Very rarely do you find a guy who can even, you know, get to 24, 25 points. And then, of course, we have to mention Shohei Ohtani, priced just below Urias at $9,000. I will definitely be tossing Shohei out there in a couple formats. You know, I don't think he'll go very deep in the game. The best pitcher today is going to be Luis Castillo, pitching at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's got that combination of matchup. He is going to go deeper in the game than a lot of his other compatriots at starting pitcher. I also, you know, Corbin Burnes, legitimate NL Cy Young candidate, priced at $2,500. You know, not the best possible matchup against the Padres. But, you know, I guess to be fair, the bottom half of the Padres lineup is not hit to their projections as of yet. They have a lot of production at the top. Tatis, Cronenworth, Hosmer, these guys are all having tremendous seasons, but the bottom half of the order has not really been picking up the slack quite yet, so we really like Corbin Burnes. And then Zach Plesac against the Chicago White Sox at 7,400, we are a pretty big fan of as well.
All right, let's move over to first base and catcher. Freddie Freeman leads the way at 4,300. Remains to be seen if Acuna will be in there tonight, so how that will affect Freeman, no one knows. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just keeps moving up. He's up to 3,900. Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals is 3,800. Sal Perez at catcher, 3,700. And then some choices here between Jared Walsh, Max Muncy, and even Pete Alonso at 3,600. Alonso's that guy, Davis. I just know something big is coming. I don't know when, but like there's going to be a tear coming. And I guess you got to kind of get out in front of that when it decides to happen. So who do you got at first base today?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Freddie Freeman is just a left-handed power hitter in that short porch Yankee Stadium. I mean, a Freddie Freeman 318-foot fly ball could scrape over the fence for a home run there. So we always love the left-handed power bats playing at the Yankee Stadium. Paul Goldschmidt, $3,800 against Patrick Corbin. Corbin got absolutely spit roasted, you know, in his first start this year. I think the Cardinals are, well, it's such a big slate, so I don't actually know how popular they're going to end up being, especially because we have a Coors game right in this slate, which brings us to Yuli Gurriel, $3,500 against John Gray. Jared Walsh, $3,600 against Jordan Lyles. I will guarantee you sub 5% ownership on FanDuel today for Jared Walsh, and I'm going to tell you that he is my favorite low-owned guy to hit a home run today. I think he will bat fourth or second today with Shohei not in the lineup, so just a really premium lineup spot for him. Love Jared Walsh. And then if I'm going to pick a cheap guy today, it's going to be Ryan Zimmerman, $2,300 against Adam Wainwright, who can't really get guys out at this stage of his career.
All right, over to second base, couple of Coors guys factoring in. Ryan McMahon is at 4,000. Whit Merrifield, 3,900. Max Muncy's 3,600. Joey Wendell, 35. Garrett Hampson, again at Coors, 3,500. And Adam Frazier of the Pirates is at 3,400.
Yeah, Coors bats reign supreme here. McMahon, Altuve, Hampson, I think a lot of those guys are going to be super popular. Looking at some of our alternative options, we have Tommy Edman, who hit just a line drive home run on Sunday. It was just one of those that just kind of stays flat the whole way until it gets over the fence. I thought that was a cool home run. Remember, we talked about Tommy La Stella yesterday. You'll definitely need some cheap guys in your lineup to make these Coors bats work. Today, Tommy La Stella, $2,300, is going to lead off against Zach Wheeler. And then Marcus Semien, $2,900 against Eddie Rodriguez and that Red Sox bullpen, who I guess didn't really get taxed yesterday and because they didn't have to. And it was not tough work for them yesterday against the White Sox, but really like Marcus Semien.
Yeah, White Sox used two position players to pitch yesterday, Yermin Mercedes being one of those. All right, over at third base, we have Justin Turner at 4,300, Arenado at 4,000, McMahon qualifies at third, so he's 4,000, Vlad Guerrero Jr., 39, Escobar, 37, Machado, 36, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Davis, a very low-priced Alex Bregman is supposed to be back in the lineup. He flew to Denver, as reported yesterday, to participate in this series against the Rockies, so another possible option there if he's back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, if Bregman is back in, we'll definitely be interested in him. But if he's not, Abraham Toro, a switch-hitting third baseman for the Houston Astros, he's priced at $3,000. He's the overall top option at the position in terms of value. I think Nolan Arenado is your best bet, just at the top of the position in general. The Indians and Jose Ramirez in particular are interesting because, Rodon has been very strong this year, throws the no-hitter with only the one base runner allowed on. So are people just not going to play the Cleveland Indians in this positive run environment? I think Jose Ramirez at 3,000, I mean, we know Jose Ramirez has these huge games, these double home runs, the home run plus a steal type games. And he's a first-round pick in fantasy, Jose Ramirez, and he will be under 10% owned today, same price as Abraham Toro. Toro will be twice as owned as him if he is in the lineup. So really like Jose Ramirez today.
All right. And at shortstop, we have Trey Turner at 4,100, Corey Seager, 3,800, Trevor Story back at home up to 3,800, Javier Baez, we've talked about a ton, 3,700, Carlos Correa at Coors, 3,600, and then Fernando Tatis. I still maintain that there's going to come a point where he will not be under 4,000 if he's healthy the rest of the season. So maybe some value there as well, 3,600, but he's facing Corbin Burns, and I guess that's the issue.
Yeah, well, tonight's slate is almost a full slate here, and so it just looks like the first round of your fantasy draft, Trevor Story, Trey Turner, Tatis. However, the most expensive of them, Carlos Correa, a guy who didn't go until much later in your fantasy drafts, but he has this matchup against John Gray in Coors Field. I think that in a vast majority of your lineups, you're going to want to play one of these four guys. There are a couple value options. Paul DeJong, platoon advantage against Corbin. He's priced at 2,800. Talked about Marcus Semien at second base. He's 2,900. And then Bo Bichette against Eduardo Rodriguez, 3,400. And Gleyber Torres against Charlie Morton. You know, it's just kind of a ballpark play. And actually, I guess Willie Castro priced at 2,400. I mean, he does bat third in that Tigers lineup. We will need some cheap guys today priced at 2,400. I think you can do worse than him.
All right, over to the outfield we go. If Ronald Acuna plays, he'll be the highest priced player today, although I doubt it. I probably would guess he won't play. 4,700. Mike Trout's 4,500 tonight in the Ohtani game. Mookie Betts, 4,500. JD Martinez off to a great start, 4,400. Same with Harper at 4,300. And Juan Soto's getting on base two times to three, basically every single game. We just don't know how it's going to come. If he feels like walking, Davis, he walks. And if he feels like hitting a home run, then he swings. But he's always getting on base and getting points. You just have to know when he's going to hit a home run to make it worth it.
Yeah, kind of an interesting situation that we have here because Mike Trout, Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., you're not going to see these guys be very popular in today's slate because people will, of course, be rostering Michael Brantley and Kyle Tucker and Charlie Blackman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, the Raimel Tapia and these bottom of the order guys, Miles Straw, even for the Houston Astros. And this is always the heart versus the head with Major League Baseball Daily Fantasy is, do you attack that great run environment or do you sacrifice the edge in median projection to get lower-owned guys? I mean, I pretty much always opt to trying to find lower-owned stacks. I mean, just we know that the field has gotten much better at playing DFS over the years.
Yes.
So what you need to do is you need to not correlate yourself with the field. So I would personally be trying to get Trout, Betts, Soto in a lot of these lineups tonight.
Not even a mention of CJ Cron, huh? It's just done? This is it?
It's... He's got to show me something, man, because he's playing so bad. Like I have nothing positive to say about what he's. I mean, he could see himself DFA'd if he keeps this up for another month.
True.
Honestly,
it's true. They are not going to give that guy 4 months to bat 170 for sure. He said something about not playing at night in the spring, and that was the cause. I don't know, but they've played enough night games now during the day for them to go back to Coors. I think this is it. I think they have a homestand here coming. I believe it's 7-game homestand or 6-game homestand. It's time. Believe me, I'm doing pretty well at the start of my fantasy season. This is rare for me to be doing this well at the start of the year. Usually I have to scratch everything out just to finish at the top or near the top. He's the guy, like, right now. Like, if he picks it up a little, I could be in good shape. But all right, coming up next, it turns out to be the marquee matchup of the day in baseball from a wagering perspective, Dodgers and Mariners. Who would have thought? But here we are, two really good teams. We'll break it down for you next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Mookie Betts is out of the lineup today for the Los Angeles Dodgers, so I don't know if that changes the needle at all for Davis, but let's find out as we preview some of the games going on this afternoon and this evening. Dodgers and Mariners, one of the marquee games being played today because the Mariners are off to such a great start. Kyle Lewis back for them. He was so impactful for them last year, won Rookie of the Year over Luis Robert in the American League. Dodgers are a huge favorite, though. Julio Urias against Marco Gonzalez. And Davis, we know at this stage, Marco has not gotten anybody out at the start of the season. Seattle's plus 140-ish at home. Dodgers almost never lose. They have not lost two in a row this season. What about today? Is there a chance Seattle does it to them, two games in a row?
Well, there's always a chance. It's a baseball game. Anything can happen in one baseball game. But I do not think that these odds are deep enough. Marco Gonzalez versus Julio Urias and this Dodgers bullpen. I mean, I thought that we would see, a minus 225 plus 190 style line from our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think I would definitely side with the Dodgers here, Mookie Betts or no Mookie Betts. I mean, Marco Gonzalez can't get anyone out. He's given up home runs left, right, and center. This is not the lineup you want to face if you are struggling with the fly balls. I mean, they sub Mookie Betts out and they put in AJ Pollock. They got Zach McKinstry. Their 8-hole hitter is hitting home runs. I mean, it feels like a terrible spot for Marco Gonzalez. And this is at Seattle, by the way, which means that the Dodgers pick up the designated hitter. And obviously when the Dodgers, they're DHing Will Smith, they have guys like Edwin Rios in their lineup. I mean, this almost doesn't even seem fair for the Mariners.
Yeah. Dodgers are just stacked. And McKinstry has been such a shock at the start of the season. And to see how, I mean, we haven't even talked about Gavin Lux yet. Like, this guy just doesn't play. It's so crazy, but Dodgers just keep rolling him out. They have a couple of prospects that I think are bigly ready too. So, all right, tonight's game, the rematch of last night, round one went to Milwaukee, and this is game two tonight, 10-10 Eastern, and the odds look about even on FanDuel, so no clear advantage. Padres are supposed to be the better team, and so therefore you have to lay $118 to win $100. The Brewers basically even money, you bet $100 to win $100, and the Brewers have either their best or second best pitcher on the mound tonight in Corbin Burns, who is off to a tremendous start. Chris Paddock will start for the Padres, and he's a little bit hit or miss. Let's be honest, you just really don't know. Yesterday, in preparation for his start today, Corbin Burns talked about not just the pitching being good, but the Brewers' offense being good, and that's without having essentially two of their top three or four hitters.
When these guys all get fired on the right cylinder, we're going to be a tough team to beat, even with – so be it, some of our better hitters out of the lineup in Yelly and Kane and Colton, some of the guys that can help get on base. We're able to have guys step up and fill that hole. So it's been good to see. And, we've got it from the one hole all the way down to the 8-hole, 9-hole sometimes. So it's one of those things that you have to it's going to be a long season. So you're going to have to have guys step up. And that's kind of been what we've done. And, done well over the last week, and I think that's something that's going to continue to happen, and eventually we'll be get the guys back in line that have been on the IL.
All right, well, look, Burns can't pitch. I don't think he could pitch, Davis, any better than he has. Let's be honest. He's gone from 30-1 of the NL Cy Young to about 12-1. No one is pitching better than Jacob DeGrom as well. So it's those two guys right now with the possibility of it. This is sort of a watershed game here for Burns, Davis. I got to tell you, if he goes 8 innings and doesn't give up a run, and strikes out 10, and doesn't walk anybody, and he wins, I mean, his odds on FanDuel are going to go from 12-1 to like 8-1. It's going to be him. And look, anything can change. We're only in April, but we're trying to chase the odds here. How about tonight, though? Do you back San Diego? Do you think eventually Burns turns the other way? Or do you think that he just keeps rolling tonight?
Yeah, I would probably bet the Brewers right now. Now, We are kind of going against Chris Paddock because he was so bad in his last start. And I mean, he ended up getting a win against the Pirates, but it wasn't really anything that he did. Right now, he has a 4.15 ERA. His K rate is way down. He was not able to strike out any Pirates in that start. And I think the line is reflecting that. The line is reflecting that the market really believes in Corbin Burns, really doesn't believe in Chris Paddock. But, you know, the bottom half of the Padres lineup, as we were talking about before, I mean, this is who they're going to have going tonight. Will Myers, Tommy Pham, and probably Victor Caratini. Those are good hitters. I mean, those are better than the guys who are the bottom of the Brewers lineup for sure. I mean, the Brewers are giving everyday plate appearances to Daniel Vogelbach, who is first off a disaster in the field and really a DH only style player. Castanera. I mean, these are guys with huge swing and miss in their profiles. So if Paddock has it going, I think the Padres probably roll easily tonight, but we just don't know which version of Chris Paddock we're going to get. If I was betting this game, I think it's probably closer to a no bet, but I would side on the Brewers here and just say, look, Corbin Burns, he turns the opposing guy's bats into pool noodles, and so we're going with Burns.
All right, Corbin Burns is the pick. Let's move over to the Atlanta Braves and New York Yankees. We have the Braves plus 100. Yankees are minus 118. If you follow baseball at all, you know what's going on with the Yankees. They're not winning any games. It has been super ugly at the start of the season for them. Jameson Taillon against Charlie Morton. It may be without Ronald Acuna Jr., so that certainly gives Atlanta at least a little bit of an edge. You rarely see, Davis, the Yankees ever not a massive favorite at home. It's like almost never happens. And they're minus 118 today. Their general manager, Brian Cashman, was asked yesterday about how ownership feels about this awful start. And Cashman, as usual, doesn't hold anything back.
He's disappointed, you know, clearly. How obviously he's got a lot invested in this situation. But he's also a fan, just like we all are, and our expectations is provide great Yankee baseball for those who come to the game or those who are watching the games. And we haven't done that here in the beginning of April. And clearly we got to self-correct that here over the course of time. And we look forward to doing that and proving anybody who's going to predict otherwise, proving them wrong. But we understand why there's some doubts currently and question marks, and there's a lot of head scratching on how the roster is currently performed thus far. But as I referenced before, it's 15 games, and it was 15 games I like to forget. The only way I'm going to forget them is doing something about it in the next 15 and seeing how those results look.
Davis, we could have played this whole press conference for our show today. It probably would have been entertaining enough. It's amazing. Listening to the way that these guys in New York and girls in New York ask questions and the way that they are answered, it's phenomenal. But it's been a rough go, Davis, for the Yankees for sure. Their lineup has been really tough. One of the questions that was asked a ton was about Aaron Hicks's play on offense too, and should the lineup be changed? I mean, you can just imagine. You saw what happened over the weekend where they threw baseballs on the field. I mean, we just don't see the Yankees get off to this. Usually they get off to great starts, and then it's not as simple in the postseason. But look, it's a one-game scenario. Charlie Morton didn't look great his last time out either. Jameson Taillon, you know what he's doing today. It's five and dive, right? He ain't going more than five innings tonight. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I like the Yankees here. I think that Charlie Morton, fine starting pitcher. I think Jameson Taillon also, you know, kind of Morton's like a C+, B- starting pitcher, especially outside of the Rays or the Astros, who, you know, the Astros helped him cheat. The Rays helped him work on that spin rate. Maybe he's retained some of that stuff, but I do not hold the Braves pitching coaching in the same regard that I do the Rays specifically and the Astros. I mean, credit where credit is due. The Astros have turned around the performance of many starting pitchers. Taillon, I just think he is, you know, kind of just your average American League East starting pitcher, should be able to get in a ton of innings. But the Braves without Ronald Acuna Jr., their lineup is just a little bit less fearsome. You replace Ronald Acuna Jr. with Guillermo Heredia, not as good of a player. So then it's kind of Albies and Freeman and then a bunch of league average guys. The Yankees, on the other hand, you know, Judge, Stanton, Glaber, I mean, even, you know what, Clint Frazier doesn't have a clue in the field, but he is like a pretty good bat in terms of an 8-hole hitter. You're really not going to find a guy who has better speed and quicker hands than Clint Frazier. And obviously, DJ LeMahieu, a very solid leadoff hitter. You're right, though. Aaron Hicks has just been not good. He He's like that weird guy. I don't know why they hit him third. It makes no sense because he's not a guy who generates tons of contact. He takes lots of walks, but his batting average is always very low. I mean, even not regarding the slump he's in right now, he is just a low batting average guy. It would make more sense to move Glaber to three and swap Hicks around. I don't know why that isn't something they've explored.
Yeah, that was a big part of the press conference yesterday. A lot of questions. You know, look, that's naturally what's going to happen, Davis. But I guess what Cashman said was that, yes, like, obviously Aaron Hicks is not hitting, but he's like, pick anyone else in the lineup too. It's basically what he said. Like, you know, have at it with anyone, outfielders, infielders. And the interesting thing that he also said is that, you know, look, there's a lot of like discussion about Aaron Boone now. And I mean, look, we all know that Aaron Boone, who had no experience, Davis, whatsoever, managing in the big leagues, got the gig. You know that a lot of this is being done upstairs analytically. That's the way it is. And so, but Cashman did say, hey, look, Boone is the manager. He's got a lot of options there. If he wants to make some changes, he can. I'm going to guess he will. I'm going to guess you're going to start seeing some offensive changes. You're right about Hicks. They must have asked three or four questions just on him as well. And it makes me think that a change is probably going to be coming there as far as the outfield. You know, he mentioned Gardner playing, I guess, a little bit. Can you believe that? We're back to Brett Gardner.
Not that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Anything but that. Don't trade for someone. Do some. No more Brett Gardner. None of that.
Yeah. And Stanton, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I've just been off him for years, but Stanton hasn't hit at all. Sanchez hasn't hit at all. Yeah, I mean, what's to say? I mean, the Yankees usually just get take some money, throw a Band-Aid on it, and keep going. But what's really amazing is that weekend against the Rays just couldn't have been understated more. Like, the Rays just went in there and just smashed them around. But good to see the Yankees hold some accountability. Team loses a bunch of games. Throw the general manager out there to make some comments. That's what we got yesterday from Brian Cashman, so we bring it to you here on the show for sure. All right, NBA preview coming up next for us. So here on Sports Grid, we got the Clippers and Blazers coming up next. And it's you know, when I see the lines in these games, I'm able to figure out who is in and who is out, because it's pretty obvious to me that with the Clippers being a pretty massive favorite, that Lillard is not in and Kawhi is. It's kind of the feeling that I have now. I don't know if that's true or not, but when we come back, Davis will dive into that for us. And then also our draft profiles continue here on the show today. And really the most fascinating player outside of maybe Kyle Pitts in the first round of the NFL draft, it just has to be Justin Fields. Because in doing some research for this yesterday and seeing the varying opinions on where Fields could go, meaning he could go 2, 3, or maybe even like 17 in the first round. I was shocked to see that there's that chance that it could happen. I thought Fields was the second best guy going into the draft. Apparently not. Apparently some people feel not. Now, look, the mock drafts don't mean squat. They're wrong all the time. I get it. But we're trying to help you out here on FanDuel. So we'll put our best foot forward, tell you where the best possible odds are if you're interested on Fields come draft day next week. And we'll be back with more fantasy sports today with a preview of the Clippers and Blazers next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. As we wrap up first hour of fantasy sports today, let's take a look at one game against the spread in the NBA. See if my reasoning is right on this one. Clippers and Portland Trail Blazers. Clippers, one of the best teams in the NBA. Portland, not bad themselves. Dame Lillard is the one question, I guess, going into this night for Portland. We got an 8.5-point spread for LA on the road. The total is 226.5. We know the Clippers are going to be pretty formidable in the playoffs. And look, Portland may be as well. But Davis, this is telling me, I look at this line, this is telling me something is just really off tonight to see the Clippers this big a favorite. I know that they're a good team, but if I didn't know any better and everyone was playing, I would say Clippers by 2 or 3 or 4. Why is it 8.5?
Because Damian Lillard, with the aforementioned knee tendinopathy, is not going to be playing, and Yusuf Nurkic also is not going to be playing for the Blazers, which means that it's going to be a lot of CJ McCollum, who's going to be guarded by Paul George, who is, I think, 6 inches taller than him, will be guarding CJ McCollum tonight. We're going to see a lot of Enes Kanter getting the ball down in the post. Going to be seeing a lot of Norman Powell, the recently traded former Toronto Raptors swingman, going to probably be initiating a lot of the offense when CJ McCollum is on the bench. I think Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Kawhi Leonard, all of those guys are good to go tonight. Now, Kawhi might get a rest night because this spread is 8.5 points. But with the knowledge we have now, I think we have to side with the Clippers. The Blazers without Dame, just not a great team.
All right. Well, there you have it. And more NBA discussion coming from us tomorrow on the show when we take a look at our fantasy standouts here on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, we have Dan Strafford with the update at the top of the hour. He'll tell you everything that's going on in the world of fantasy sports and also sports wagering as well. Our first look at Justin Fields' odds in the NFL draft, which is coming up next Thursday. And also, we're going to talk about over the last 7 to 10 days, who's hot, who's not in baseball. Maybe there's some buying opportunities there for some players who are not, and maybe some selling for players who are hot as well. So stick with us here on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddox. We're back in just 2 minutes with the second hour of our show. Don't go away.